Good morning.
Good morning.
Is this on?
Oh, yeah, there you go. Good morning. I want to apologize, and I didn't realize. I was just going over to the Vietnamese service, like, oh, yeah, I forgot we had English service. So I want to acknowledge the elephant in the room. But nevertheless, you will still get the same quality, amen, of message. And I'll do what I can in the amount of time we have. Let's pray real quick. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for being our God, and I ask that you give us your words and help us to let this mind be in you, our mind be in you, Lord, and that we do not come formed to this world but be transformed by the renewing of our mind through your words and your message. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. All right, the message, my title is Having a Peace of Mind. And the reason I titled that is because I actually like studying the mind. I don't know if y'all know, is I study business, but then I also, I would say, minor in psychology because I read enough things about it. And this quote that I always remember when I read Ellen White's stuff on Mind, Character, Personality book, it says, to deal with mind is the, what, everyone? Greatest work to ever commit to man. So I find that interesting that she says out of a lot of things she could say, she said to deal with a person's mind is the greatest work ever, because that is so true, because how we think and how we have mentally, our thought reflects on how we deal with people, but also how we view Christ. Amen? Right? That's important, because if you don't get this fixed, then other areas in your life ain't following the same suit. You get what I'm saying? Yes? Yes, yes? I want to be participation, y'all. Yes. All right. Thank you, Kang. Thank you. So I remember that. So I was like, I should study more into the mind. And so my message today deals with the mind, deals with what we think, our thoughts, and how that reflects our day-to-day. We have a lot of thoughts every day. Can you guess how many thoughts you have per day? Thousands. How many thousands? 50,000? Million? Going once? Going twice? Sold. Okay. So statistics show from a National Science Foundation shows that an average person has 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. I know. You're thinking that's a lot of thoughts. You're like, whoa, I don't think that much. But bear with me. You're sitting here. You're thinking. You don't think it, but subconsciously you're thinking, huh, is the weather okay? What's the light? How do I look? And then what's the smell? What's it? Ooh, the light. You know, you're actually thinking. You don't realize you're thinking, right? So we have that much thoughts per day to think. That's about 3,000 thoughts per hour. Sadly, 80% of your thoughts are negative. That's what they show. And 95% is repetitive. Is that true? You feel that's true? That's the average person. You guys are, you know, Christian positive. You don't think like that. But that is how a lot of people are. It tends to be negative. It tends to repeat daily over and over. And my challenge to you is to think, are those thoughts good thoughts or bad thoughts? Are those thoughts serving you or putting you down? Think about it. Yeah, you see what I did there? So that's the challenge with dealing with a person's mind is we default think just negative and positive, you know? It's so much easier for us to go around worrying about the future, worry stressed about our finances or frustrated with our boss or work, right? We think about those things. What are we going to do? Who are we going to go? Where are we going to go? And it's also guilty that we have it done in the past, we did something wrong, that those thoughts come back, right? You ever, I don't know, but for me, there's times I did something wrong. Oh, I put myself down so bad. I punished myself. Like, look at what you did. Why did you do that again? You know, how, why would you do that? You ever had those? Anyone? Can you relate? Yes? Y'all relate? Yeah. You think about those things, and it's sad, but my challenge to you is you could have those, but do not hold on to it. Amen? Gotta let it go. And that's my goal today, is what are we holding on? What are we thinking that we're not letting go? We probably made a mistake in the past and, you know, feeling that we're not good enough or, like, why would you do that again? But you could hold on to it or you could think, you know, Lord, thank you. I am redeemed. This is the past and you've forgiven me. Amen? you could hold on to it, you give it to God. Or you felt there's a disappointment, things didn't work out, you could hold on to it, you know, living in grudge and bitterness, or if they only did that, or discouraged. Or you give it to God and say, you know, Lord, you have something better for me. And that's true. He always does. Yes? Amen? Okay, so we can dwell on those thoughts or let those things steal our peace, take our energy, take our time, just to think about those things. I grew up not Christian, and for the longest time, I was feeling like I had to have a burden on myself, you know? Sometimes you feel like it's just you against the world. Like, you have all these battles, all these fire you need to put out, and it's just you against the world. You're like, it's so heavy, or you did something. And that's before I knew Christ. And I felt like I had to, you know, just conquer everything, this and that. It reminded me, this guy I met at another church, his name is Jerry. Jerry is obviously a Christian. He's like older men. But he shared with me how for the longest time, he served in prison. For the longest time, he felt guilty because he did something really bad. That's why he went up to prison. For the longest time, he just felt guilty that, you know, I deserve this. It's my fault. It's my bad. I shouldn't receive any blessing. He's holding himself back. And he shared with me, he just had that for years. He punished himself, and he goes through this, he drinks, he smokes, he just finds a way to escape so that he doesn't feel that bad. But so afterwards, he became Christian, and he just felt so good to give it to God, amen? I felt the same way, just feeling like I had to take care of everything. But when we have God, that what makes it a difference between a Christian and non-Christian. And so, here's a scripture, not a scripture. That's how I felt, like that, but not in a big backpack. Martin Luther King says this. I love this because it says, you cannot keep birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest in your hair. Your hair. You know how what this really means? Can anyone think what it means? Can't control everything. That's true. You're right. Yeah, there's a lot of things going on around you. There's this, there's that, there's out of your control. But it comes and go, but you do not let it stay with you. You know what I'm saying? A lot of things happening outside your world that's out of your control, but you do not let that in your life. And so I remember that because then the more we keep stuff in, it's not, you know, healthy to keep it like that. There's a show I recently started watching. Really interesting, called Hoarders. You know what hoarders are? Who, what they are? Yeah, it's actually interesting show. I first was like, this is going to be lame. And then I watched it like, oh, actually it's pretty cool because it deals with psychology. Check this out. It is a compulsive disorder. Hoarding is actually compulsive disorder. 15 million people have this condition. You don't think they're actually normal looking people, they're cool, they're chill, but they just have this tendency to just keep everything, just to hold on to everything. Do you know anyone that's a hoarder in your life? Are you a hoarder? Dun dun dun, I don't know. That's 5% of the population. So this show was interesting to me because they have to confront people who are hoarding, right? This one lady on the show, she had everything still around. Newspapers, you know, cans of food that's still there. Some that's open, she haven't even thrown away. They just boom, boom, everywhere. Look, there's some pictures, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is what a room looks like. And she has so much stuff, walls of stuff. She can't even get to the kitchen sometimes. It's so small pathway or a little pathway to the restroom. You should watch it. It's disgusting. Imagine how it smells with all that around too, right? So cluttered. And what's interesting is they have an intervention. Their kids say, hey, mom, we got to, so what do you want to do with this? Because, you know, probably the kid's been dealing with it for years. And they have to confront, like, yeah, so this is an issue. We're concerned for your safety. We're concerned for your health. We're concerned for your life. Because it's so small that ambulance cannot get through. You know what I'm saying? If something happened to you, a stretcher, it's too small. And so Even if there's a fire, firefighters can't even do anything, and you might die in this whole pile. It's ridiculous. So I watched it. Now, in the intervention, they have, in the show, have a psychologist come by. You have to. To us, it's weird. It's like, we all know you're holding on to trash. They don't see it, but we see it. To them, every little part's sentimental somehow. They can't let go. Like, I have experienced this a bit. My mom's a tiny hoarder. She's not that crazy, you know. Not this crazy either. But she has a little bit of it. Do you have your parents? Don't raise your hand, but, you know, your parent might be a victim of this. I never connected the dots until recently. I realized, hoarders, it's connected by based on what they're going through. You know, it's a reflection externally, publicly, to what's going on in their mind. So they might be holding on to something in the past, holding on to a regret or a loved one or a past, something there. And so I realized a lot of Asian parents, especially Vietnamese, hoard in a weird way. It's because they went through the war. I don't know if you guys ever connected that. They went through the war. They had nothing on their backs. They left, like, everything is gone. So in a weird way, subconsciously, they're holding on to things. They're holding on so they don't want to lose it again. It's weird, because I tell my mom, you haven't read that in like 4 years. That shirt's still there, 10 years, still the same. She's like, no. And I secretly throw it away. Guess what? She gets it back. Ah, so I had to, you know, think of new strategies, put it in a bag or something. But she just knows. Like, you threw something away. I was like, I don't know. I threw trash. Yeah. And then she goes, check. Like, it's ridiculous. And I don't get it. But a little explanation of what that is. And sometimes we think about that. That's crazy. But we ourselves sometimes are hoarder mentally. We have thoughts in the past that are regrets. We have somebody hurt us. We never let it go. We never forgiven them or done this or that. Are we hoarders sometime? And, you know, you think about that. She, this lady, we know that she was, she couldn't see it, but she didn't realize, you know, they don't realize they're in the midst of it. Actually, when you're in the midst of it, you kind of get used to it, right? You kind of get used to feeling that way, smelling that way. You're like, no problem. How many times for us, maybe we just get used to feeling, yeah, that's not going to work out, right? Feeling like can't happen. Like, those are negative thoughts that we're holding on to. And she's focused on all the, she wasn't focused, she was just holding on to everything, focused on that. She didn't realize it's limiting her belief, limiting her life. So that's the show. You guys should watch it. So my point is this. Our mind has so many thoughts throughout the day. And are we harboring, are we holding on to things that we shouldn't even hold on to? You ever have somebody that hurt you and you thought about it and you're like, okay. And then a few days later, oh, you know, that was, you know. That happens, right? And God does not want us to keep dwelling on those things because it's holding you back to, instead of using those energy to think about what has happened, what done, and you can't even do anything about the past, we ought to use the energy to think about what God is able to do in the future, amen? What God is doing in our life, what God is doing in their life. And so, yeah, very interesting. So let me see. I'm cutting short because, yeah, I forgot Vietnamese translation was long. Oh, yeah, so that's me. No, that's not me. That was me in the past. Not that picture, but what I'm saying, in the past, I grew up with a lot of insecurity. I don't know if you knew. I'm pretty good now. I'm positive and confident. But growing up, you know, you come to America, your English is, like, weird. You don't feel that confident in that. And so I just feel like, you know, not good enough or, like, I'm not fitting in. And not only that, I'm not that tall. I mean, I, you know, and we play basketball. I'm not always the first one to be picked. You know what I'm saying? You know? And so that didn't make me feel good. So I felt not good enough. I'm not, you know, like, I can't do that. Or I had to keep trying to be harder and harder to win people's approval. And those are the thoughts in my mind, like growing up, just feeling, you know, I'm not good enough, or that's not gonna happen. And when I discovered girlfriends, that's even worse, because, you know, you get in a relationship and stuff, and then they break your heart. Those things magnify the thoughts that you have every day. You ever been heartbroken? Any of you? No? You guys are good? Oh! Yeah, I hope you don't go through that. Yeah, so those are the thoughts that kept playing my mind. I was hoarding thoughts that were like, you know, what's wrong with me? Am I not good enough? Or am I like, why didn't she like me? Why didn't she love me? What did I do? What? You get dwelling those, that becomes like an ongoing record. Remember, the study says that 95% of our thoughts are repetitive. You kind of have about the same thoughts every day, right? I go to this car. Oh, when do I get off? When's lunch? You know, oh, I'm hungry. That's about the same thoughts. And throughout that, you have other thoughts, which is you're struggling eternally. It's just like, you know, oh, how do I look? Or why is this not happening? God wants us to surrender all that to him. Amen? God wants to say, hey, you know, like, let it go. And trust me with your future. Amen? So I felt rejected. And it wasn't good, because I felt like a loser, not attractive. But I got through it. I'm okay. Don't worry about it. let me see here. And you ever feel like if you're a mistake, trust me, you're not. Amen? You're not a mistake. And if your heart is beating, if you're breathing, there's a purpose in life. The fact that you're alive makes it meaningful that there's actually something in the future. So don't feel those things about yourself. And I challenge you, next week when we finish, go throughout your day, see how many things you're thinking about yourself that's not good. Think about things that you're saying to yourself or what other people put in your mind, because that ain't true. Because people put in stuff in your mind says, oh, you doing that again? You think you're going to make it? Or what are you? Who are you trying to be? Who are you? That's their thoughts. But if you keep accepting them, you start believing it and then make it your own story. Don't let that happen, okay? So next week, look out through your week. Are you thinking positive? Are you being frustrated? Or are you like bitter or angry about something? God does not want that to happen to us. So when I go through things I worry about, I look in the chapter Philippians 4. So if you have your Bible, you can look at it, or we can just go look here. The whole Philippians chapter 4 is so good. Y'all should like try it. Because when you read it, it starts, in especially verse 6, it says, don't be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Don't worry is what I'm trying to say. Don't worry about anything. But in everything by, read with me, prayer and supplication with Thanksgiving coming up. Okay, soon. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpass all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. So that's the start of Philippians 4, where it's like, wow, you know, don't be anxious for anything. I mean, be anxious for nothing. Just give it to him and he'll give you peace. Now, the next verse, we go down. 8, it says, okay, so what do you think about? The whole chapter 4 of Philippians, I really think it's about what you think. It's about a mental thing. So it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are, with me? Noble. Whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there are any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate. Think on these things. Amen? So when you're trying to figure out what are you should be thinking about, go to this verse right here. And the things which you learn and receive and heard and saw in me, do these. And the, what again? Peace. God of peace will be with you. And so again, he reiterate peace. God wants you to have peace and not to think about so many things. You go down, and I'll just go to verse 11. It says, not that I speak in regard to need, but I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. whatever's happening around the world, whatever happening around your world, you learn to be content. Amen. Why? Because you have the peace of God in you. Amen. That's what makes us different, guys. That's what makes us stand out when your whole employee, coworkers, or your classmates, they're going crazy. They're going through so many things. We go through those things too. I'm not saying we don't, but we have a peace in God. Amen. We have someone we can just give our burden to. This church, it says, come, this whole verse right here, you ever dwell on it? It says, come unto me, all ye that labor, are heavy labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we come to church, that's what God wants us to have. It's a Sabbath day. It's a day of rest. And our mind, our thoughts, should be just give it to him, and he will give you rest. And what's after verse 11, when things are going crazy and you don't know how out of control, verse 13, y'all know this verse, yeah? Philippians 4:13. Let's say it together. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's encouraging. And that's why I love Philippians 4, like the whole chapter, because it's encouraging. It says, hey, you're discouraged. You feel like you can't do it. You're inadequate. You're not good enough. I can use you to do all things because I will strengthen you. Amen? And we finish with all the way you read down to 19, that you're worried about how is he going to provide, how he's going to give or take care of this thing. It says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Amen? The whole Philippians 4. That's my point of when you're having so many stress, you're worried, you have so many things. Even Matthew 6, it says, worry not about tomorrow, for tomorrow take care of self. Worry about today has its own trouble. And so just be present with God. God don't want us to worry so much about the past. Why? We can't do anything about it, right? We can't really. We can learn from it. And God don't want us to worry about the future because we're not even guaranteed tomorrow, right? It's all in God's hand. And so God is asking us to leave it in him. So this lady, go back to the cluttering lady. She had a two-story house, but she cannot enjoy the beautiful house. She can't even get up there. There's like trash along the way. It's crazy. And so if you don't clean out the clutter, I believe God can take you to new levels. God can get you to rising higher and pursuing your dream. If you live guilty, if you live bitter, he can't open new opportunities. The way I heard an illustration once was God's blessing, because you're like, God, how come you're not blessing me? How come you're not doing things? How come, you know, what's going on, right? Think of a stream of water coming down, and you are like this pond of water, and it's drying up. You're like, God, I need more blessing. I need more water. But could it be that there's like rocks in the way that you're holding on? You're not letting God go all the way? Can you imagine that with me, right? River, stream, and then there's rocks in the way, and those rocks are stuff you're holding on, stuff that you need to let go and forgive. All right, almost lunchtime. That's what I'm thinking. But it's okay. So my point is, let us not dwell in the past. Don't be a hoarder. Don't, like, you could even tell me, like, wow, hey, Vong, you know, that person hurt me. They did me wrong. That's why I'm bitter. That's why I'm upset. Well, and that happened 20 years ago. All right? So my point is, why are you still holding on to that? You know, why are you still sour over that person that walked away? Why are you still upset about, you know, that company let you go? Because, in fact, they might not even remember it. Guess who's remembering it? You, right? Stuff that happens and you feel like, you know, like, oh, that jerk, get revenge. One day, why we do that to ourselves? You know, you're doing the same thing. You're repeating those thoughts. And God says, let it go. Let go and let God. Amen? So they hurt you once, but don't let them to hurt you over and over. You know what I mean? They've hurt you. I get it. I'm not justifying for what they did was right. I'm not justifying for excuses for their behavior. But they've hurt you, and you got to let it go. Otherwise, you keep hurting yourself over and over. You with me? Does that make sense? If you hoard on to those things, it's going to poison your life because you're just going to think about that and it ruins your day. It just, you know, makes your day not the same. And so my goal is to help us, I need it for myself too, to remind ourselves is that we are created in God's image, that we have a purpose, that we have a blessing, that God has so much more plans for us. And we can't go around being all doopy and sad and thinking about these things. That is not what we're God created us to be. God created us to live fully with joy and with passion and to live fully for Him. Amen? Yeah? And so it takes a lot of emotion energy to hold on to a grudge or to be bitter or try to get revenge on someone. That takes a lot of thoughts. And if you're trying to revenge on someone, that's very creative, but don't do that. And that's wasting your thought. You could have those thoughts to pour those thoughts into your dream for your goals, for the future. And here's the next one right here. So don't take revenge because it says, never take your own revenge, beloved. Leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, revenge is mine, I will repay. God will repay each person according to what they have done. So stuff happened. I get it. But let God take care of it. Amen? And here's a little quick exercise for you. If you worry or you have negative thoughts, write it down. Then write a positive thing about it. So you're like, oh, I don't like Jack. He's always this at work. Write a positive thing and think on those things. Or someone at church or someone in the family. Oh, Uncle G is always like, you know, like this. That's a negative thought. That's not healthy. And so instead of dwelling on those things, dwell on something good about them, something positive. I hope you could think of something like that, right? And so just write it down and then realize how many thoughts you have. That's a little exercise you can try throughout the week. And to wrap up everything, there are so many drama. There's so many things that can pull us throughout. And it just doesn't make sense to have it in our lives, right? Hold on here. Sorry. I wrote a lot. But I'm learning. And so, oh, here it is. This is what I want to finish up. You know who's targeting our mind the most, though? Satan. God wants us to have control of it, but Satan also wants a piece of it. And he wants to fill you with doubts, fill you with things that are limiting what you're possible of. I think Satan's one mission is to keep you from fulfilling God's purpose for you. You realize? That's what I think. I think that God has this plan for you that you're supposed to be here. And Satan will do everything in his path to make you doubt, to make you feel like you can't do that, to put you down. I think that's what Satan. You're the captain of your mind. You're in control. And if you let him in control, then there's all sorts of things that is not good. So when you have doubts, when you have things that are, you know, in the past, God says, let it go. Remember Richard Hogan? Who in this church remember Richard Hogan? Who don't know who I'm talking about? It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry. Richard Hogan, he's not Vietnamese. Just want to make that clear. But he came to the church. He helped us out so much. And he was just really a good guy, just despite his age, despite his ethnicity, whatever. He just generally wanted to help us. There's a reason he came, you know? Like, it inspired me. It helped people. Jacqueline. That's why she's here, by the way, if you could ask the story later. But there's so much he'd done. And in his last days, he shared with me his favorite verse. He's like, Vong, hey, he told me this. He's like, hey, here's what's going on with me. And he told me that, like, I believe Satan's attacking my mind. And I might not live any longer. And so he shared me this. And he says, hey, but I have peace that I'll be okay. Because it says, In Isaiah 26:3, it says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you because he trusts in you. That's a good verse. Amen. And that's what we ought to have, because if we are cluttering our head with noise, with stuff that are useless, stuff that are not going to matter, it's going to drown out God's peace for your life. And so he told me this, and he's like, hey, Vong, so the most important thing you need to know in life is that God loves you, he died for you, and you have a restart in life. And sometimes we make it too complicated. God came to earth because of our past mistakes, because of our shortcoming, and he cleansed us to restore into God's image. Very simple, amen? Sometimes we forget it. We get so busy. We get so tired. We get so negative. We're so noisy, and we just forgot how simple the gospel really is, right? We're trying to do this. We're doing that, and going through many things, and so much noise in your mind, and my job is not my job. My goal is to encourage us not to have so much things, but surrender to God. Be at peace with him. Is that something you can do? So if you have something in the past, let it go or talk to God about it. If you have something that's burdening in your heart, if something that it's hurting you or you just haven't been able to get to that process yet, pray that he will allow you to get to that day that you can forgive something. You know, what's on your heart? What's on your heart today? What's on your mind especially? Is it playing the same record over and over every day about how you didn't do that or you couldn't get this? Or is it filled with positive things that I am blessed, I'm a child of God, he has a plan for me? Are those the things you're thinking? I hope that's what you are doing, you know? Because if you're living like the lady, you don't recognizing that's limiting you. You're comfortable with this guilt. You're comfortable feeling bitter. You're comfortable living angry. You get very comfortable, and that's blocking your potential. And you're living guilty, living bitter, living sour. That's not your style. And it smells. That's not you either. You guys smell good. So I want to close with Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. God is knocking on our hearts. God's knocking on your mind and asking you, what is in the way between you and him? Are there something in the way? Are there things cluttered up? You can't even get to the door. You hear him knocking, but you might have something in the way. I don't know what it is. But is there someone you haven't forgiven? Is there something you just haven't let go? Your family, your relatives, a friend? Think about something. But sometimes even yourself. Have you forgiven yourself? Have you loved yourself lately? You know? You know what I'm saying? Because we've made mistakes, and we punish ourselves, and we feel guilty, and we feel we don't deserve to have a reward. We don't feel we deserve to have the blessing. And so I want you to think about those things. And when you start this week, let it go, but think about the things that you are, that God, why God loves you, right? You are beautiful. You have talents. You're gifted. Maybe your time's not yet, but it's going to work out. Think about those things. Think about your, like, the things that you're able to do and your talents that no one else has. You're gifted. Amen? So remember your image in God and not let other people put you down. Let not what the world has to conform, but rather you become a child of God, that you are loved and you're capable of being loved and you're capable of loving others, that nothing you've done has made you any worse. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we thank you that you've forgiven us, And if there's anything, Lord, holding us between you and the door, between your knock and that's in the way, that's cluttering our life and our path, may we give it to you and just able to just leave it in your hands. We thank you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.